Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. The show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area, Elite Vacation Homes is the place to go. They have homes from 2 to 6 bedrooms, they have pools, they have game rooms, and they have outside barbecues. So contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. The show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal, SeaWorld, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you need to rent a DVC hotel, if you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, Animal Kingdom Lodge, Contemporary, contact David's at davidsvacationclubrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody, and welcome to podcast number 159. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey, Doug, how you doing this week?
I'm doing well, except for trying to deal with computer issues again, and you know how they always work out for us.
Oh, they always work out wonderfully in the end.
Yeah, it always ends up that way, right? Nobody has any idea what we deal with over here. They don't want to know. They just want to listen to us gab about Disney.
Yeah, it's just a well-oiled machine by the time the show goes out.
A lot of oil, trust me.
Yes.
So what we're going to do this week, Dan, we're going to do a little bit of the WDW Main Street dining plan again, and we're going to do it over at Epcot. You ready to have a little food fun?
Yeah, let's do it.
So last week you made me go first. This week I'm going to make you go first.
Okay. All right, so we're at Epcot. Let's see. We're staying at the Boardwalk on this particular trip for this particular dining plan review. So we're going to go over to the Captain's Grill for breakfast, and we're going to pay out of pocket because I don't want to burn my credits on breakfast. It's never a good value because you don't get the dessert. But anyways, you know I'm a big advocate of the Captain's Grill breakfast buffet over at the Yacht Club, and we've been doing that for years, and I truly believe that's a hidden gem. They have a separate room off to the side where they set up the buffet, and you know, it's $18.99 for adults and $10.99 for kids, and they got everything from soup to nuts there. You can get fruit, yogurt, pastries, salmon, bread pudding, oatmeal, cold cereals, bacon, sausage, hash browns, and they also have a bunch of specialty dishes that they do, eggs benedict, all kinds of stuff, things you would expect to find at a buffet. But I strongly recommend this place, and I'm going to regret doing this probably because it usually you can get in there without an ADR in the morning. So whenever we're staying in the Boardwalk area, we love to go over to the Captain's Grill before going to, in this case, Epcot, but we'll even do it some days if we're going to the studios as well.
I've never gotten eat at the Captain's Grill, and I would love to one of these times. Maybe we get down there together. We can both go over and have breakfast together there.
Yeah, I think you would enjoy it. And like I said, it's kind of off the beaten path. And certainly it's not one of those restaurants that's on the tip of everybody's tongue when they think of breakfast. You know, they're all, you know, especially a buffet there. You know, everybody's all about Chef Mickey's, or even at the Beach Club, the Cape May Cafe is very popular. But like I said, we generally do this at least once a trip. And our friend Bob from All In WDW, he likes to braise beef over there for dinner, which I have to say, we've never eaten dinner there, or lunch for that matter. We've strictly done breakfast. But, you know, like I said, for $19 and, you know, you get juice and coffee and all that stuff with it, I think it's a pretty good value, and it's a little bit of a step up from what you'd get in there, you know, at the food court at your particular resort you're staying at. So to me, it's a middle of the road thing, and something we enjoy.
Oh, we're going to have to definitely try it. I mean, I would love anything in that area, the whole Boardwalk area and Yacht and Beach Club. I love all the restaurants over there, and we haven't done breakfast in that area much. We've eaten it a couple different places in the Swan and Dolphin, but that's when we stayed there.
Mm-hmm.
And every time we stayed at the other ones, we'd walk over and go to Epcot, if you follow me. So.
Yeah, and as you know, Doug, the what do you call it? The deluxe resorts don't have a food court per se. I mean, I know at the Boardwalk you can include the Boardwalk Bakery and such, but you know, if you're staying at a moderate, I mean, there's almost nothing that can beat or a value for that matter. The food courts at the resorts, moderate and value, you know, you get a good value, and you can, you know, it's pretty diverse, and you can get almost anything you want there.
For breakfast, it's awesome. I love the breakfast pizzas over at Riverside, don't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. All that stuff is great. And, you know, obviously it's convenient, too. If you get breakfast out of the way, then you can pretty much focus on getting to the park and, you know, do your touring, you know. And that's probably one drawback or a reason why somebody wouldn't want to go to the Captain's Grill, because, you know, unless you're staying there, you got to figure out a way to get over there and then, you know, then go to the park. So I get that, but again, we enjoy it.
No, I guess you, well, if you're staying there, Dan, why not eat there?
Right, right. But what I'm saying is, yeah. Usually when we're not even staying there, you know, we eat there. In fact, on
our you're the king of the cab. Like, that's what more people have to realize. You're up the. No, it's worth it. And a lot of more people don't realize how easy it is to get a cab to go from resort to resort. For the $20 with the time you save, it's money well spent.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, people, when especially if you do Magical Express, or if not, I mean, people, you know, a Disney World vacation is expensive enough as it is, but there are times where a cab just makes more sense. And to your point, Doug, sometimes time is more valuable than the actual money. I mean, we don't like throwing money away, obviously, but there's times in the trip where a quick cab ride is well worth it.
Especially after everything you spend, and then you got to wait if you're going from resort or going over to, you know, you got a reservation at one of the resorts, and you got to do to go from resort to resort. It's the worst thing to do on property. It's the hardest thing to do.
Yeah, it's difficult at best, and unless you really know your Walt Disney World, transportation stuff. I mean, there's ways to do it, but you got to be a little savvy and know the tricks, if you will, of where to get dropped off or what resort to get dropped off, so you can still take advantage of the Disney World transportation.
Oh, absolutely. Like, you have to go from to go to Epcot, you'd if you're at Riverside and you don't have a car, you'd have to get dropped off at either the studios or at Epcot, then take the bus or one of the buses or boats back to the resort.
Exactly, exactly. And, you know, some people get frustrated with that, but if you understand it and you have a plan, it's doable.
Absolutely. So what we're going to do is, me and because I always include Bren because I'm so used to talking that way. But anyway, we're going to go over to Epcot for breakfast, but we're going to pay out of pocket too, and we're going to go to the Fountain View so Brenda can get her Starbucks.
Nice.
Yeah, and then we're both going to get breakfast sandwiches. She's going to get the spinach feta egg white breakfast wrap.
Okay.
Which, you know, that's her being healthy, which I will try a piece of that. And then I'm going to get the ham and Swiss breakfast sandwich, which, you know, they're very good. Have you ever had their breakfast sandwiches there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've had almost all of them at one point or another. I've even had that feta wrap, and it's very good as well.
Yeah, it's very good for you, too. And we'll split each of them and try, you know, because we like to try different things. And the good thing of it is, Dan, like you were talking about the Captain's Grill, if you figure up our two breakfasts, if I got a drink, each of us are spending $10 almost.
Oh, yeah, easily, so.
I mean, why not live large and stuff yourself? The only problem with it is, whenever you eat a buffet like that, you feel like you got to eat more to get your money's worth out of it. So then you don't want to move in the morning.
No, that is true. I mean, where typically you'd get the one plate or you'd get what you want and call it a day, you know, when you know you have that buffet, you're always going back for a second plate or, you know, maybe get some of the things that you didn't get the first time, and you're definitely eating more than you normally would. No doubt about that.
And I always do it. Then you're so sluggish. You gotta get going for a little bit. By the time you get to France, you'll probably be feeling good again.
Yeah, right.
So where are you going next, my partner?
Let's see. We're going to use our credits here back to the dining plan for lunch, and we're going to eat at the Katsura Grill in the Japan Pavilion. And I am going to get the teriyaki chicken with steamed vegetables. That That looks appealing to me. I've never had that dish, but if I went there, and on this fictitious trip, that's where I'm going. That's what I would get. And then for my dessert, I'm gonna get something really bland and get a strawberry ice cream for $3.99.
Which is very good.
Yeah. I just feel it's a little refreshing on a warm Florida day. That just appealed to me when I saw it on the menu. So, yeah, $9.99 for the teriyaki chicken. I mean, that's not bad with the steamed vegetables. So that's somewhat of a light lunch, if you will. To your point, not get sluggish during the rest of the touring day at Epcot.
Oh, to be honest with you, not to be honest, like I was lying to you, but that's what my sister-in-law got on our last trip. And the funny part is we don't talk to each other before we do these. And I'm
Right.
going over to eat at the Katsura Grill too for
Oh,
lunch.
boy.
And I'm going to get, because everybody on this show knows who's listened to us how much I bragged about the sushi there.
Right.
And me and Brenda's each going to go over and we're going to double it up. We're both going to get the Tokyo sushi combo platter, which is
Nice.
4 pieces of California roll and 3 pieces of nigiri. And it was out of this world. Have you ever tried the raw tuna, the raw salmon, and the shrimp there?
No, as you know, Doug, I'm not a big seafood guy. That's not right. Sushi guy. So that I saw it on the menu, and it's just something. I mean, as far as I'd probably go as far as a California roll if I was going to do anything, but I don't think I would partake in the sushi like you just mentioned.
Well, the Tokyo sushi combo is out of this world. I mean, it was so fresh and good. And me and Brenda, the last time there, we'd already had lunch and it was in between meals. So we stopped in there because we wanted to, try the sushi there. And we thought about going back and getting another one. So I know this time we'll both get our own combination platter and we will both highly, highly enjoy this.
There you go. And like you said, you can have a bite of each other's and even, be able to try some more stuff off the menu.
Well, the problem here is then we're at this place. We're both going to get the combination sushi platter because it wasn't enough for us to share
Oh,
last
I
time.
see.
That's
See, it's the same thing, only twice, is
yeah,
what you're saying.
exactly. Because it was
But
that
yeah.
good, and we, like I said, after we ate the first one, we thought about going back and buying another one. But we had already had lunch earlier, and this was like early, and we knew we were having dinner later, so we didn't want to spoil our appetite and go get more. But we actually, I wish we would have. And then what I'm going to have is the green tea cheesecake.
Okay.
Out
Yeah,
of this world. Very good.
you mentioned this on a previous show, and so you've actually had this item.
Yes, it's very, very good. You got to try it next time you go there.
Absolutely. I'll
And
give it a go.
how can you go wrong with cheesecake then?
That's true. Regardless of, well, maybe if it was a cilantro cheesecake, I might pass. But other than that, almost anything with cheesecakes goes pretty good.
Yeah, cilantro and olives, we're both out.
Yeah, right.
So now for your dinner, my part, or your snack, I don't know where you're going next.
I'm going to save my snack for later on at night before Illumination, so we'll go ahead and do my dinner. I'm going to go over to Tutto Italia Ristorante, and I am going to get the ravioli ricotta with chicken, pancetta, and Parmesan cream. For $26, which sounds pretty reasonable to me. We love Italian food, so this is a restaurant I've actually never eaten here, so this is truly fictitious for me. But we definitely got to get over there, and with the
Well,
what's
you
that?
get the Disney Vacation Club 10%, you'll get your tables in Wonderland 20%, so you'll be pretty good here, Dan.
Yeah, that helps big time too with the to kind of defer some of the costs. But yeah, I definitely got to get to this restaurant. We usually do. What's the other new Italian restaurant there? Via Napoli, I think,
Yes.
it's right next to it, or kind of in the same general area. And the couple of times that we did feel like Italian when we were at Epcot, we ended up at Via Napoli. So we've kind of overlooked this place. But I've heard pretty good things about it, and we definitely got to get in there at some point.
Absolutely, you do.
Check that out.
Absolutely. So what else were you, what were you on the
And
fence,
then,
what else were you on the
and
fence with here?
oh, go ahead.
I was saying, what were you on the fence? You told us you what you chose.
Right, now hold on here. Let me bring up that menu. So we're in Epcot here. I have my other let's see here. Bear with me here. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. We're at dinner. Okay, I was going back and forth with the I got the ravioli. I was gonna, believe it or not, I was just gonna go with the spaghetti with beef and veal meatballs, but my dislike of veal kind of turned me away from that. Although where it's beef and veal, I'm sure I would have been fine, and I probably wouldn't even have been able to tell. But that
Yeah,
was,
because what that does is moisten it up a little bit.
where the veal tends to be a little bit drier, so I'm sure I would have been fine with that. And I actually considered the grilled salmon too. I mean, that sounds good. Let's see, grilled salmon fillet with green asparagus and saved fennel salad. In a Pumarolia, whatever that is, and then lemon. But we'll stick with the lasagna. No, I didn't get the lasagna. What did I get?
You got the
Yep,
ravioli then.
the ravioli. I'll be okay. Yeah. So I mean, there's quite a few things on this menu actually that I wouldn't mind giving a shot at some point. So like I said, we definitely got to get over there.
Yeah, you'll enjoy yourself. The food is excellent. You'll really enjoy yourself there.
Yeah, and then I'm going to finish that off with the mocha tiramisu for dessert.
How do you go wrong with tiramisu?
Yeah, I love that. And you don't, I mean, a lot of restaurants do have that on the menu now, but whenever I see that, I tend to gravitate towards the tiramisu because just like you said with the cheesecake, how can you go wrong with tiramisu, right?
No, you can't. You really can't. And it's exquisite there, and that restaurant prides itself on their tiramisu, so
Well,
it's an Italian restaurant. They gotta do tiramisu right, you know what I mean?
yeah, absolutely. If they want to stay in business, right?
Absolutely.
So, what do you got next? What are you gonna? You gonna do lunch, dinner, snack? What are you doing?
We're doing dinner and you know where I'm going, Dan. I'm gonna go over and get my bangers and mash it, Frozen Crown. But
Okay.
what we're gonna do is my wife is gonna get the roasted the Scottish salmon to go with it, and we're gonna split it.
Okay.
You ever had that there before?
No, I have not. Haven't had the salmon at Rosencrown.
She loves it so much, and then no matter which one she gets, she regrets getting the one and not getting the other one.
Yeah, that's the trouble with going to a restaurant that has multiple entrees on it that you like or that you want to try, because you're so torn. You know, like we always say, do you get your favorite that you get all the time that you know you're gonna love, or do you kind of go off the farm, if you will, and try something different that you've never had? That's always a tough choice.
And what we might do is, 'cause we're kind of hungry this night, and I like to get them every once in a while. Instead of getting the appetizer, we might split some fish and chips just to try, to have them, because it's been a few trips down there since I've had the fish and chips,
Right.
and that's a good appetizer to split between two people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've all had the fish. Well, I'm assuming most people have had the fish and chips, if not inside of the Rose and Crown, certainly at the fish, window there on the side, and they are delicious. I mean, they're fried to perfection, and they're not too greasy, and the nice white meat in there. The fish, I should say, not meat, is always great.
Nah, it's everything is here is good. I mean, the prices are so good, that's why I'm going to buy an extra entree.
Can afford to do it here, absolutely.
Absolutely. And then for dinner, for dessert, I'm going to get the orange cream filled cakes with chocolate ganache, raspberry sauce, and fresh oranges.
Wow, that sounds good. Good palate cleanser.
Absolutely, and we're probably both going to get this because my wife can't have the non-sugar yogurt parfait. She's not in the mood for no sugar.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're on vacation, right? Who wants to eat that? Unless, you have a health concern where you have no choice. But if you have a choice, you probably want to eat something that's really good and not good for you. But like I said, you're on vacation. What
Well,
the
you're
heck?
doing 25,000 steps per day down there. You could
Right.
justify it.
Yeah, you're burning off as much as you take in all likelihood.
Now, what did you have? You got the bangers and mash, but what have you gotten the last few times? Have you always gone with the fish and chips here, or what other things have you gotten off the Rose and Crown menu?
I mean, I've gotten the fish and chips, and you know from last time we although it's an appetizer, we did indulge in the Scotch egg, which was very good. I had heard a couple other shows. Lou did a dining review there, and that's something that if some folks didn't push me in that direction, I probably wouldn't have tried. But I'm so glad that I did, because it was a unique item, but it was very, very good with the sausage wrapped around
It's awesome, isn't
the egg, and it comes in
it?
like a little nest on some greens, as I recall, or something. So don't be afraid of this item, I would say, if it's something that you want to try something, and it's really not I don't want to say unique, but I mean it's not something that's off the wall, I guess. I mean the flavors meld together pretty good, and it's definitely something I'd order again. So
Have you ever got their steak there, the grilled New York strip steak and fish?
no, and again, that's my fault probably. It's just something I wouldn't think to get steak at the Rose and Crown. And again, I'm sure it's delicious, and I would like it. But again, when I'm going there, I'm more thinking of the fish, or as of late, the obviously the bangers and mash. So I have a couple of dishes that I would get in front of that. Normally I'd save a steak if I'm going to get a steak over the course of a vacation for, Le Cellier if we were eating there, or perhaps even Kona Cafe or something like that. But how, you've had it, I assume, if you're asking me.
No, I never had. That's why I was curious. I
Oh,
never got the
okay.
steak because that's how much I love that. We usually end up with the salmon, the fish and chips,
Right. On the
now the
bangers and
cottage
mash.
pie, then the vegetable cottage pie I would choose over the shepherd's pie because I just don't like lamb. But
Right,
everything
right.
else in the meal with the mashed potatoes and the McCall's Irish cheddar, the seasonal vegetables, out of this world. But I just can't go with the lamb. Can you then?
No. When I see lamb, I tend to stare away from it. But when I ate there last, I mean, we covered the dining review in depth, but we got four or five of the entrees off of the menu, and everybody raved about their meal. And I think my wife might have got the vegetable cottage pie, if I recall correctly. So, I mean, everything that we had was delicious, and I hope to, in future trips to the Rose and Crown, try to get off my favorites and try some of the other entrees.
Yeah, you should. There's a lot of good things on that menu. I just wish they would trade out the lamb for some beef in that shepherd's pie.
Right. Yeah, like I said, you probably wouldn't even taste it with the other stuff that's in there and the gravy or whatever it is that it's mixed with. But it's in there, so it may be a psychological thing where you
Oh, it
all.
would be with me. It don't take much to psychologically drown me out.
All meal long, you'd be looking for that funky flavor or something, and whether it was there or not, you'd probably find it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So, what are you doing for your end of the night nightcap for dessert?
Yeah, for my dessert, I'm gonna stick to my tradition. I'm gonna head over to the Norway Pavilion, Kringla Bakery, and get a school bread and a coffee, or a school bread and maybe a Diet Coke or something, and get that probably around 8:30, and then find a place to watch Illuminations to cap off the evening.
Well, we did that two times last trip.
Nothing wrong with that.
No, you can't go wrong. You're the one that turned me on to that. I never had the school bread before until you told me about it. And it's out of this world. It's one of the best desserts I've ever had.
Yeah, I mean the school bread, and even the I don't have the menu open right here, but I think it's a, I want to say a foghorn, but I don't think that's the correct name. But it's basically a cream-filled horn that kind of looks like a cornucopia or something like that. And it's very, very good. I've had that before too, and almost any of the there's four or five like main pastry items they have there. And the school bread is my favorite, but I mean, the others are equally as delicious, and depending on, you know, what you happen to like. I mean, you know, some people for the school bread, and you'll remember my story about the lack of cream and one of the school breads that I had a few trips back. But, you know, school bread, depending on when you get it, what part of the day, it can be a bit dry, especially if the, you know, they don't put the adequate amount of cream in, because there is a lot of bread between the area where the cream stops and then the bread starts, if you will. And, you know, but as far as from a flavor perspective, I totally agree with you, Doug. It is delicious, and I keep going back over and over again to get that item because it is great.
Oh, it like I said, we got it 2 times last trip, and next trip I'll probably get it 2 times. We split it, me and Brent, so it isn't that bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's something you probably could split, or not probably could. You can split and still get a decent amount, you know, with 2 people, because it's a pretty big size piece of pastry, no doubt.
And then I'm going to head over to Italy. I'm going to go over there to get mine instead of going with you again. I'm going to go over to the gelati kiosk.
Yep.
And I'm going to – I was on the fence with a lot of things, but I'm going to go with the Coppa del Nonno. It's fiore di latte chocolate, cookies and cream topped with chocolate sauce, whipped cream, and amaretto cookie.
Oh, wow. That sounds awesome.
That's how I'm going to finish my night off.
And I thought you were just going to get a scoop of gelato ice cream and be done, but you went over the top there with all those other things on it.
Absolutely. But that's the way to end the night. I'm filled, I'm fat, and I'm stuffed.
Yeah. Yeah, we covered a lot of great stuff, and, you know, Epcot, we could probably have done 2 or 3 shows because, you know, just the amount of dining opportunities there and food carts and different pastries and stuff like that, there's certainly a large array of food items to choose from at Epcot.
Well, I'm mad because Taste Track wasn't included. I would have gone to lunch over there and got my gourmet grilled cheese if they were accepting the dining plan.
Well, you know, you're right, Doug, and that wouldn't have been a bad choice. But sometimes when these new little offerings come out right away, they're not on. But hopefully by the time you get down there next time that it is being offered as part of the dining plan, because, you know, it would be nice to be able to get a grilled cheese as a not as a snack credit, but as a takeout credit.
Yeah, a counter service would be awesome. But yeah. I'll tell you what, even if it's not, it'll be out of pocket, especially if we get down in like January or February. How good would it be to go over and get a Gruner applewood smoked bacon, caramelized onion on sourdough bread, and then get a little bit of tomato soup to go with it? I mean, that's some good stuff right there.
Oh, yeah. What is it? Tomato bisque, I think they offer. And
absolutely.
Yeah, like you said, if it was a little, you know, chilly in Florida, which it tends to be that time of year, that would certainly hit the spot, no doubt about it.
Like that trip we took in February a couple years ago for Mom's birthday, we'd have gone through multiple grilled cheeses and multiple tomato bisque. Let me tell you about it.
Yeah, there you go. And like you said, I mean, you know, there's areas to sit there. I mean, they have those knee walls all around. If you kind of go out of Test Track and go over to the right behind the bathrooms there, there's all, you know, I shouldn't say there's all kinds, but there's certainly seating areas. And like I said, I know they added some tables with awnings over them in and around where they were offering these grilled cheese sandwiches. So, yeah, it'd be a good place to grab something before you head off to another attraction or potentially even over to World Showcase.
Well, it's just nice to have another place back in there to grab something to eat if you're hungry, instead of having to stroll all the way back over to Sunshine Seasons or over to Umbrella or back into the countries.
Yeah, no, you're right. In that section of Epcot right now, there isn't a whole lot to eat. And, you know, like you said, the quick service there on the Con Electric Umbrella, I mean, you know, they need to step up their game. I mean, I know it is what it is. It's just burgers and fries and, you know, hot dogs or whatever else they have. But it's a very limited menu. And, we've eaten there, you know, probably a half a dozen times over the years. But, you know, I'd prefer they do something a little bit different or maybe enhance the menu or do something to, you know, give us some more options other than just the standard burgers and fries.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't even think about 90% of the time I'm at Epcot, I don't even remember that's there anymore.
No, I blow right by it, to be honest with you. Be, you know, particularly if you're going for Food and Wine or Flower and Garden. I mean, there's so many other food offerings. You know, why you, in my view, anyways, you know, why waste eating a burger that you can get, you know, almost anywhere or back home, or you go to McDonald's or Burger King and get something that's probably on par with what you're going to get there.
Well, the crazy thing is I'm in Mouse Gears like every time I go to Epcot. I'm in there multiple times that day.
Right, right.
And I don't even think about going in the Umbrella. We ate in there one time with my sister and brother, my brother and my sister-in-law, because that's all they like to eat. They're all counter service. I mean, if they go out, it's usually if they do a sit-down meal, it's usually at one of the outside of the park restaurants.
Right, right.
Yeah, that's just how they dine. That's just what they like. They don't. I mean, they did do. What was the old Italian restaurant that used to be there?
Oh, boy.
I'm trying to think. I can't. Everybody will tell me now.
Yeah, and I've eaten there a couple of times, and the name escapes me right now.
We've eaten there four or five times, and but yeah. I can't remember the name of the original one. But we went there and ate with them there, and she wanted her spaghetti a certain way and this a different way. And
right.
You know, it was just craziness, but... They prefer counter service, and I don't blame them. That's what they enjoy to eat. They don't want to waste the time a lot of times to sit down. Now, they did enjoy 50 prime time with us.
Okay.
But that's because that's my brother's attitude. He had fun there.
Right.
It was all good to him. But he'd rather, you know, their shorts, T-shirt, let's have fun. They're not really into going out to dinner every night. Even around here, it's Outback, or that's their type of meal.
Right, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Ew.
I mean, some people, like you said, either they enjoy that type of food or, like you said, don't want to take the time and burn a couple hours doing a sit-down meal somewhere where you're going to have multiple courses and, you know, potentially burn time that you won't be on attraction. So I get that.
If my brother had the choice between Pecos Bill's with the Fixins Bar or Le Cellier, he would choose Pecos Bill's. And that's just, he would, and he'd be happy to do it because he'd be
right.
Ready to go do something else. It's just how they are. And I had no, like I said, we ate at the Umbrella, and I have no interest in, it was nothing special to me. Even inside's nothing special to me.
Nah, it's a very bland, straightforward, I suppose if you're starving and you don't have a lot of time and you don't have an ADR and you just need to throw something down to, you know, take your hunger away, that's about the only time I'd probably eat there. But I would agree with you. I'd probably invest the extra, you know, 300 or 400 steps and go over to the Land Pavilion at Sunshine Seasons and get something there because it's obviously more diverse and you can get, you know, some good quality food as opposed to what you're probably going to get at the Electric Umbrella.
Oh, the salmon and all over there at Sunshine Seasons is awesome. All their food is fresh and good. And
yep.
The thing that it is about the Umbrella, there's like no atmosphere. It's like every other quick service, like Casey's Corner, the Columbia Harbor House, Pecos Bill's, like I said, all of them have some kind of ambiance. So even Sunshine Seasons is cool with being down as big as it is. There's like an atmosphere going on. You got Sunny Eclipse, and every counter has its own little
theme, own little thing going on.
There's
right.
an ambiance about it, even though it's quick serving, it's noise, a lot of it, and all that. But there's nothing going on in the Umbrella, just like eating it in a cafeteria in a mall.
Right. It's just bland and it's just, you know, you're right. It's the most under-themed restaurant or quick counter service, I think, in all of Walt Disney World. Or it's got to be up there anyways.
Yeah, they should do something with that, man. I mean, it's just, or make more room in Mouse Gears in there.
That's what I was going to say. They got to move the grilled cheese place in there and make it a huge place.
Well, yeah, there should be something more... like, with all the stuff that there is in Interventions and stuff like that, don't you think Epcot would come out with some kind of futuristic dining place?
Yeah, we at least touch that subject. Yeah, they could have something where you have a robot or some sort of audio animatronic. You're right.
How about the screens, like the cast members behind it and talks to you somehow where you don't see them or you
right.
touch screen or something innovative to have dinner in Future World?
Right. Their place is not right. It's just like they throw it in there, and it's just like, well, we'll get what we can get. I mean, I've seen some pretty good sized crowds there. I mean,
oh yeah, it's packed because when the park's packed, it's packed. I mean, that's why
right.
they don't do nothing. But like Frontierland has Pecos Bills, Casey Corner on Main Street, Columbia Harbor House back there. I mean, Sunshine Seasons is in the like. There's themes all over the place, like. Umbrella's in Future World. Don't you think they would do like some kind of? I would love to see them do some kind of futuristic quick service restaurant there.
Yeah, you would think, and you know, I think part of it, the reason why they don't, like you said, is it's kind of on the main thoroughfare. You come under Spaceship Earth there, and if you're hungry or depending on what time of the day you get to the park, it's almost the first dining opportunity you have in Epcot. So a lot of people just out of either necessity or just out of reflex, oh yeah, hey, here's a restaurant, let's grab something before we head over the test track or whatever. So it just presents an opportunity to eat something. And I'm sure once guests go in there and you're in line, they may be a little disappointed in the menu, but at that point they're already invested in having stood in line, and they're like, well, we might as well eat here, we're here now.
Yeah, well, most people don't like aren't like us that worry about all that stuff.
Right.
We do. We want more. We're greedy, Dan. We want everything
right.
we go to Disney World.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yep.
Well, that's going to be it for this week's show, guys. Please go over and check out our sponsors. We'd really appreciate it. You got anything else you want to say, Dan?
No, that's going to do it for this week. And next week, whenever we do one of these shows again, we'll wrap it up with the Magic Kingdom, right?
Yeah, for the parks. And then we'll do downtown and all the resorts we're going to do.
Awesome.
So we'll keep this train rolling.
There you go. Choo-choo.
All right, buddy. Have a great week, and I will talk to you soon.
All right, Doug. See you later.
Bye-bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye.